Thank you, y'all. This is Sonic Cereal. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track. And in this episode, it is indeed one of our favorite artists. Who could that be?
Björk. And we're talking about her 2004 album, Medulla. And it was released in August 30th, 2004.
And what genre? How would you classify this?
A cappella, avant-garde, and experimental.
And it was on released on One Little Independent Records, which is Björk's label.
Yeah, and I'd say the themes are about being human, motherhood, and civilization.
And in this episode, we're doing songs 1 through 4 off the album, starting with Pleasure Is All Mine.
Show Me Forgiveness.
Where Is the Line?
And Fukuro.
So what is a cappella exactly?
Why?
Because we said that this album's
yeah, you can classify it under a cappella. So that's an Italian phrase that means in chapel style or in the manner of the chapel, and it refers to performance of a musical work by unaccompanied voices. The term was originally used to describe a sacred choral music, but now refers to secular music. So a cappella is becoming very popular.
Yeah, it's been. We watched a little thing today about how it's the only form of music in which you don't need any instruments.
Right. And so there's been
a low barrier to entry.
Like a lot of college groups and the movie Pitch Perfect.
And Pentatonix.
Pentatonix. Yeah, there you go.
What about some album background?
Well, following Vespertine, Björk faced a challenge, how to evolve without repeating herself. With Medulla, she stripped the music down to its most fundamental element, the human voice. No traditional instruments, just vocal manipulation, beatboxing, and choral arrangements. The result? An interesting but polarizing experiment. Did you know I could beatbox when I was a baby?
So that means you still can?
Yeah. I do it my way, though.
What does that mean? In your head?
Yeah. My mom said.
How would you describe this album? What are some words you would use?
Primordial, motherhood, black braided hair, breastfeeding, passive, pre-civilization, goth, folk, archaeology, bones, family around the campfire. What more do you want?
Namaste?
Did you shop at Hot Topic?
No.
When you're listening to Evanescence and Linkin Park and My Chemical Romance?
No.
Oh, because you were more a Nickelback fan.
None of those things were my life.
Well, does this album chart?
Yeah, in the UK, Medulla debuted at its peak number 9 on September 11th, 2004, and it remained there for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Wow.
Not great. In Iceland, it debuted at the top of the chart, obviously, and it stayed there for 3 weeks.
Obviously.
I feel like 3 weeks is not that long in Iceland if you're Björk.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., it debuted at number 14 on the Billboard chart and remained there for 7 weeks.
Hey.
Respectable.
Well, I got it for my birthday when it came out, and I got it from the Virgin Megastore in San Francisco. Have you been?
It's not there anymore, but yeah.
Yeah. I finally understood what critics meant when they said some albums were challenging and not easily accessible after a few listens to the album. So, this was not the Björk of the 90s I fell up with.
I knew. Feels like you're a therapist. A couples counselor.
I mean, I knew she was weird and different. But this was definitely a left turn for me. I said, no, thank you. Let me out.
It's her fifth album, and she recorded it all over. Reykjavik, Salvador, La Gomera, New York City, and London.
That's a lot of places. Have you been to all those places?
No.
You've been to all those places.
Maybe. Okay.
Told you. Well, a critic said the album was recorded in 18 different locations, and at times it feels disjointed and claustrophobic. When Vespertine was a slow-burning masterpiece, Medulla may test listeners' patience.
Yeah, and after Bjork released Vespertine, she went on tour and played in different opera houses all over the world.
Yeah. Then guess what?
What?
She got knocked up.
Who?
So she had to lay low for a bit, and she decided to use this...
What is it, the, like, 1830s? She has to, like, hide because she's knocked up?
Yes. She thought it was time to go through her past work and complete her... She compiled her greatest hits album. A box set of live performers as well. And some demos. And a collection of music videos. Basically, she took all my money. I basically fed her and her baby. You know? And what do I get? So she had the baby in the summer. And that summer, she was ready to go on tour. She was ready to go on tour to promote her greatest hits album, which I wish I could have seen. But our good friend Michelle saw it at the San Francisco Pier 32. Yeah, so I live in that moment vicariously through her.
That's sweet.
Thank you.
Anyway, after the tour ended and she went back into the studio to work on the ideas that she'd been cooking up. Yeah.
I feel that.
And after making albums with a bunch of instruments and Vespertine with choirs and household objects, she just started to get bored. Just bored with instruments and just bored with the whole thing.
Postpartum. So she just opted for using the humans, the mouth, and the voice as the instruments.
Yeah.
And then she said the original title of the album was going to be Ink to represent the 5,000-year-old blood that flows within everyone. A dark and passionate ancient spirit. A spirit that survives. But her friend, Icelandic artist Gabriela Friðriksdóttir, suggested Medulla.
And Björk said the title basically means marrow in medical language, in Latin. Not just your bone marrow, but the marrow in the kidneys and the marrow in your hair. And it's about getting to the essence of something. But wait, medulla is also that part of your brain.
Yeah. And she decided to add the accent on the U because doula in Icelandic means hella fucking cute. You know?
She also said that she'd been going back to the time when she was 17 and she was in experimental punk bands in Iceland and just started doing whatever the fuck she wants with her voice and really finding her like girl.
Yeah. But rumor has it that Bjork wanted Beyonce to be on the album, but she had scheduling issues, you know?
Yeah.
And she's collaborated with Lady Gaga, but, you know,
yeah,
scheduling issues. Okay. Sure, Jan.
So Bjork did not tour for this album because, why?
Baby. Okay. Yeah, she had a baby.
Okay, yeah, baby.
So... In 2015, the album was made into an opera by Sharon Manalo in Brussels.
And this here is Sharon Manalo. He's an opera director.
Sharon Manalo.
Good friend.
Okay. Anyway. Sorry, I had to find it. Okay. Tell me about how this was made into an opera.
Yeah, it was made into an opera by Siobhan Manilo, known in Brussels.
What's this thing you got here in our notes?
Well, someone has a meme from the I found from the dark vault of Bjork memes. No, Bjork's dark vault of dank memes. Yeah, it said Bjork's albums is white girls. So this album, if she was a white girl, she would be Jenna. She spent a month in Europe and now tries to correct your pronunciation of Italian foods. And she took choir all throughout high school. And she's also heavily involved in community theater. Do you know anyone like this?
I used to.
I know a Jenna.
Who?
She's trying to get me caught up. I call her Lisa Simpson, though. She's annoying as fuck. A little know-it-all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to talk about the medulla oblongata, but I don't know anymore. She says it's something else. Fuck that.
I'm sorry, man. Do you want me to buy you a beer?
What about the critics?
Well, medulla, one critic said that this album is not a friendly album. There are no It's Oh So Quiet moments here. The minimalist choral pieces like Vocaro and Sonnets on Realities 11 have an almost sacred quality, while tracks like Ancestors push into deeply unsettling territory. When I, you know,
that's like Homer's whole Iliad and Odyssey in one, three words.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you about the album artwork, though, because the album cover was photographed by Inez van Lemsweer and Vinod Metenden, and designed by M.M. Paris. They did her last album. They worked on her previous album cover. Okay. Yeah. Vespertine. Okay. It was photographed in London on June 28, 2004, if you can remember where you were on that day. Yeah, she's wearing a wig designed by Shoplifter and body airbrush makeup by Andrea Helgesdotter.
There was a shot from the same shoot that was used for the Oceana single cover. Hmm. And the blue and pink hues on her skin are makeup. Which she has done on every single album cover except Utopia.
What do you mean? Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about Pleasure Is All Mine.
Yeah. The pleasure is all mine to get to be. So.
It didn't really chart.
No. So it opens with familiar harmonies reminiscent of Vespertine, but introduces a darker, more primal vibe.
And you said it wasn't what you were expecting as an opener.
Yeah, it's just like you'd expect something energetic, hopeful, like it's a weird start to things, you know? The mood just feels very Eyes Wide Shut, mass ceremony, a little uneasy, or maybe more like coming upon, like, a witch's circle in the woods, and it's like, okay, this is where we're going. It's very witchy.
Speaking of, Bjork said she wrote the song the first time she and her little girly,
yeah.
She and her daughter were alone while recording in La Gomera. And she also had her first coffee in a while, and she swam in the ocean.
It's okay, self-care Sunday. Yeah, she just needed a moment to herself to focus on the song.
What do you think the meaning is?
Well, Bjork said this song is about the... She said it's the first feminist song she wrote, and it's about the generosity of women. Hostess with the mostest, being proud of what she provides.
And the phrase hostess with the mostest usually implies someone who gives selflessly, usually like in a domestic or a nurturing role. But I think here in Bjork, in the way that Bjork does her thing, mm-hmm. She's trying to reclaim this idea and say that, like, it's something that empowers the woman instead of being something that is a burden for her.
Yeah.
You got that?
I think so. But I think we should just move on to production because this song...
Because there's no more to say.
Yeah. Because this song has got throat singing by Tanya Tagak, who she met in Greenland when she was auditioning background singers for her Vespertine tour. And she said a lot of the singers were singing her ABBA because they thought that would impress her because she's a European pop star or whatever. But Björk preferred the girls who sang more of their traditional, like, folkloric songs.
Just goes to show. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. When Mike Patton from the band Faith No More, who is also friends with Danny DeVito, he also sings on this track.
Did I tell you, when I was at Coachella and I had backstage passes and I was watching MIA... before she got problematic.
Yeah.
And Danny DeVito is right there with his kids, right next to me.
So random.
I know.
Maybe he's just trying to get in the music industry. But it's also got the Icelandic choir and beats by Razel from The Roots. Björk was impressed by seeing him beatbox a Kraftwerk song without without pausing. Sick.
Alright, and there's a gong by Peter Van Hooka, which is one of the few actual instruments that made it into the album.
Yeah.
Bong.
So it's like,
what you gotta say?
Well, talking of lyrics, I think the themes are motherhood and femininity. What's your favorite lyric?
When in doubt, give.
Yeah, because we should all try to be more giving when we can. Namaste.
No music video?
No.
Okay. What about some trivia? About Pleasure Is All Mine.
Yeah, I can tell you that she performed Pleasure Is All Mine from 2004 to 2001.
2004 to 1? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she gave a performance of it in 2004 on Giles Peterson's BBC Worldwide show.
Did you see that?
Nope. But...
did she do it again?
Yeah, she performed it in 2011. An Icelandic for Icelandic television program with an Icelandic choir and Icelandic beatboxers. It was all just Icelandic. So Icelandic.
You just had to drive it home, boy.
But my favorite performance is from 2015 at Carnegie Hall, where she performed it with strings. And fun fact, Katy Perry was at that show.
Performing?
No, she was just in the audience.
It's like, why have I never heard of this? I feel like we've watched every Björk thing in the world, and she was on stage with Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But... if you were wondering, there is a cover by Will Van Horn, which I really like because it's played on a pedal steel guitar and it sounds hella cool.
And there's also the Wild Fiction Is Really Stupid remix, which is my favorite. Take a listen.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the cocktail for this song, and it's just bourbon and OJ, so that's weird. Because the song is about being at the houses with the most is.
Yeah, but that's what she has when she goes back into the kitchen because she's just like tired of.
Like breast milk and menstrual blood. And a little bit of vodka.
The fact that neither of those are any kind of cocktail material.
I didn't do it.
It's like saying my cocktail is a dirty sock and an orange.
Let's just move on to the next track. What is okay. it?
It's Show Me Forgiveness.
Yeah. What's your first impression about it? What do you think?
I feel like it's an like a acapella TED talk about regret.
Yeah, I was just like, okay. It's just a straightforward, short acapella song. It's like a vocal poem. It's sweet. There's no beatboxing, no choir, no effects. Just raw voice with reverb. Get it, girl? Go on, talk your shit. I think that's a very brave thing to do. It's like being naked and alone in front of everyone. You know?
Wait, so you're dissing it or you like it? Because you're like, it's just a straightforward short acapella song.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, while I, you know, I'm not going to be like, I feel like playing Show Me Forgiveness in my car right now and just bumping that shit, you know, or like...
Do you do that with others?
Or listening to it at the gym, you know? But I respect the artistry behind it and the creativity and the integrity behind it, yeah.
Why don't you say like stuff like this to keep me awake when we're driving together? Instead, you're just on your phone letting me drift off to sleep after the 10th hour of driving.
What are you talking about?
All right.
So, do you know anything about how she wrote this song?
She wrote it after coming back home from Denmark and after filming the tumultuous and stressful for her.
Yeah.
Dancer in the Dark.
So, it was kind of like a cathartic, like, diary, just, you know.
Jizza?
Yeah, she wrote the lyrics first, and then she came up with the melody later.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, actually. Well, no. I write lyrics, and I write melodies. And they're just two separate things on their own, and I don't know if they're ever going to meet someday, but sometimes they do, and they get married.
And that's how it becomes a song.
Yeah.
That seems so, like, up to chance.
That's the way it should be. That's the way I am in life. What does this song mean, though?
I think it's like a confessional and feeling ashamed for feeling down on yourself. Like, I think she felt really defeated while working on Dancer in the Dark, and then she let it get the best of her emotions. And now she's just trying to heal.
Yeah. Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, usually she is seen as a joyous, hopeful, strong type of person. So I think she may have a little, like, guilt about going against everything she stands for at that time and just letting herself go to a dark place. Hmm. But she's like, you know what? I'm human. I'm just going to tell you all about it. Here it is. You know?
I know.
Feel things, too.
And tell me about production. Who produced this?
She produced it by her... But... What's so funny? She produced it all by her damn self. Okay.
I wish I had a RuPaul soundboard where I could ever say that. Okay.
That's real.
Yeah, it sounds like when you sing in the bathroom.
Yeah. When I sing in the bathroom?
You have to be like 50 locked doors away from me to sing, so.
Yeah. I give you little hums here and there. You gotta appreciate it where you can.
Wait, you sing in the bathroom? Do you? Do you sing in the shower?
I give little hums. I sing a little bit.
Okay.
I hear you singing too.
There's no shame in my
demons. Well, I'm going to tell you about the lyrics and the themes. It's about recognizing self-doubt and realizing your worth.
Hmm. And
what does she say in the song? Tell me.
She says, the shame is endless, but if soon start forgiveness, the girl might live.
It seems like a real turning point. Like a character arc.
Yelling over the children.
Anyway. If she can yell, I can yell. It's all just...
I want to throw something at the door. All right, is there a music video to this?
No.
Okay.
But I can tell you what the critics said.
Tell me.
Nothing. Is there any remixes?
Yes. There's the Tony Dominguez Tannin Medulla remix from 2007, which I really like. Take a listen.
It's giving me PTSD from when I used to live in Eagle Rock.
That's what it sounded like?
Yes, but worse. Like, there's screaming and yelling and crying. Anyway, I'm going to tell you about Show Me Forgiveness.
Track 2.
Bjork first performed this song in Japan at the Fuji Rock Festival in 2003. And, yeah, I guess a Japanese music festival would be a good place to premiere a song like that.
I agree.
Because everyone's... It's, like, kind of foreign, and everyone's just, like, off their rocker. So you can just say whatever you want. And hope no one catches it. I mean, sing, like, perform however you want, you know?
And then she brought it back for the Cornucopia tour, which we saw in Milan in 2023.
Yeah, that was fun.
And she gets in this weird, like, reverb chamber thing. It's like a cage, like a bird cage.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
What was your, like, thought? You, like, what is she doing?
I thought she was changing. She was going to come out in a different outfit.
She should do that, like, change while she sings.
I thought it was like, you know, in those movies where there's a screen and, you know, you don't see the nips, but you just see the shape.
Well... It was covered by Travis Sullivan's Bjorkestra, which uses jazz instruments. Starts forgiveness, the girl might live. So, it like does the antithesis. You want to tell me about the next track then? Because is there anything else?
I got nothing.
Okay.
The next track is Where's the Line? And this song reached number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100. Where is the line with you? And what else? Did it chart anywhere else?
I don't... Yeah, it charted on the Hot Dance Club Gay Is that real?
Well, the hot dance chart. What do you think? Just because it's hot dance, so it's gay?
I don't know.
Okay. What's your first impression? I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
I think it's about someone, possibly a family member or a close friend, who always demands more, who's never satisfied with how much time you give them, and who's always pushing for you to be available.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry, your dad. But, okay, well, remember when we talked about Army of Me and how she was dissing her brother?
Yeah.
Well, 10 years later, she felt like she still had some things to say to him, speaking of unresolved family beef. So she wrote, "Where is the line to put him on blast for being a deadbeat moocher?"
And did it work?
I wouldn't know. She hasn't written a song about that. See, she only writes about the negative stuff, and she isn't like, "My brother finally paid me back." You know? It's like, you can talk about the positive stuff, too.
Okay. She wanted this song to sound like an Icelandic choir piece that was out there called... How do you say that?
Brennit Vit Vitar.
And she said she silently cried when she heard the finished recording of Where Is the Line?
Yeah, I mean... She said this song reminded her of Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Wait, she's saying she's comparing her own song to Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, like that classic. I'm like, do you like my painting? It looks like Michelangelo, right? Okay. What about production?
This song has got contributions from...
This song's got contributions. Okay, from Mike Patton, for the bass parts, Gregory... Bernhagen, with the Ascentic Choir, Razel on the beats,
Valgeir Sigurdsson, Mark Bell, and Lila Arab. So that's a lot of people in the room.
Yeah, and there's also some whistling.
You're a good whistler. Oh, come on, don't be shy.
I can't. There's caviar stuck on my lips.
Wow, flexing your privilege much. Anyway, there's a lot of chaotic energy and terror, but also quite humorous at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say that.
I think it's a good gym song. I don't know. Don't put it on at a party, that's all I'm saying. Or do, if you want to troll your friends. I'd say this is the best album to put on at a party.
Depends who's at the party.
Yeah.
If it's people wearing that sweater.
Yeah.
They're going to love it.
Yeah.
Okay. What about some key lyrics? Or what are the themes? What's this about? Tell me. What is it?
It's
what's
like
going on?
When someone has no shame and constantly asking for handouts. Have you ever had someone like that in your life?
Yes.
Tell. Tell me. Tell it to me, baby.
My parents.
Oh, you went there. Damn. I was expecting you to say a college friend, but your own parents. Anyway, I want to be flexible. I want to go out of my way for you. But enough is enough.
You ever felt that way towards someone?
Yeah.
You want to tell?
You're always trying to, like, pull my hands behind my back. Flexible. This is like, I want to go out of my way for you, but enough is enough. I can only flex so far.
Okay.
Anyway... I think it's important to be a kind, generous person, but make sure you have the self-respect to not let people take advantage of you, and establish boundaries with someone who is trying to walk all over you and take from you.
Sounds like you've experienced that firsthand.
Me?
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
No. My mom? You said your mom too, so I guess it's a common thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the meaning?
Give someone an inch. You know? And when they're like, you owe it to me because I gave birth to you. And it's like, well, that was your choice. Anyway, it's about setting limits, recognizing when enough is enough, finally pushing back.
Sounds worthy.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
Bjork said it's about the absurdity of telling someone off when you are no angel yourself. So, you know, righteousness, double standards.
Yeah.
And then merging music genres together like techno and metal.
Yeah, it's human. No one's perfect.
Yeah.
So.
We were just watching that thing about SNL. And the guy was like, the writers, they're like, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good. Sometimes jokes are funny, sometimes whatever, but it's just the human condition. And that's what's really funny.
For sure. And there is a music video. Okay?
Finally.
Okay. It was directed by Icelandic artist Gabriela Fredriksdóttir, who suggested the name of this album. And the song was supposed to be released as the last single off the album, but got canceled. So the video just became a part of Fredriksdóttir, her installation in Venice.
And I can totally see why it wasn't released as a single, because this video is wider than anything. What's it wider than?
Wider than white? I don't know.
It's whiter than picking apples for fun.
Yeah. And it was shot at a stable in Iceland in November 2004.
I worked hard on that list.
Fine. It's wider than Napoleon Dynamite.
Cracker Barrel.
Standing still at a Radiohead concert.
Will Smith's Oscar slap.
Vampire Weekend.
Homemade trail mix for a hike.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sandwiches.
Bruce Springsteen dancing with Courtney Cox.
The Mormon Church.
Lil Wayne fans.
Okay. So this video was shot at a stable in Iceland in November 2004. Mm. Where were you in November 2004?
I was in high school.
Okay.
So, at... While I was sitting in class, she was doing this shit across the world.
Who knew?
It must have been cold.
Yeah. Where were you? Were you in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it cold in November?
Yeah, it gets pretty cold.
Okay. It was created as part of a bigger project called Versations Tetralogica.
Yeah.
Logica.
No. Bjork wears a dress made of sandbags and is covered in white goo, dancing in some hay. Very disturbing stuff. I wouldn't show it to my kid.
And she's supposed to be giving birth to a demon played by dancer Erno Omastad.
Yeah. So... But I guess the demon goes up back inside her.
Okay.
So it's more like a loogie she spit out, but then back up. Ew. Whatever, I don't know.
What do the critics have to say?
They said that Rozelle's hard-hitting beat makes it starker, darker, and rocker than anything on Homogenic. I don't care. Homogenic is still my favorite album. It always will be for life, man.
Okay, well, Bjork first performed Where Is the Line in 2003 for her Greatest Hits tour.
Yeah, I prefer this version to the album because she does it with strings and it sounds Middle Eastern. It's pretty cool.
Have you ever seen her perform this?
Yeah, I saw her perform this in 2013 in Richmond, and she brought out Mike Patton for this one. It was dope.
And in 2020, Bjork collaborated with Microsoft to play her choral tracks, including the one from this song, In the Lobby of New York City's Sister City. New York City's Sister City.
Yeah.
using AI where the music changes based on the seasonality.
Seasonality?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so what you put on your chicken.
Anyway, I'm gonna tell you about some remixes. Alright, it's been remixed by Matmos. They got the Rubber Band remix. All these remixes are pretty kooky. The Soft Pink Truth's got their Glow Stick Museum mix. And the Phantomas with Mike Patton. Yeah, it's a metal band with Mike Patton. It reminds me of that. That video we saw, that AI video where they're like in leather in the forest. You remember?
Yes. Okay.
It's just...
It was like people turning into pigs?
Yeah, and whales. And it's just spastic bonkers metal.
Oh, that was the USC animation thing.
Yeah.
There's also a piano cover by Michael Walney and Heinz Sauer from their album Certain Beauty.
You got a cocktail for Where's the Line?
Yeah, it's called The Party Line.
Alright, well, yeah, like the song, this cocktail is intense, chaotic, and slightly overwhelming with smoky depth, sharp edges, and a layer texture that refuses to settle. What? So you gotta put mezcal.
For some Fernet.
Fresh lemon juice.
Some honey.
Yep, and some chili bitters.
Black sea salt.
And you got your smoker.
We got a smoker. Wow, we haven't used it yet.
Yeah, you said when we move?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Break it out.
Okay. Speaking of smoking, and cloudy things, track 4.
Vukuro.
Bærin minn og þinn sefur sæll í...
Vukuro is a reimagining of an Icelandic hymn originally composed by Jón...
Jóran Viðar in 1951.
Yeah.
And it's got lyrics from a poem by Jakobína Sigurðardóttir.
And the title translates to vigil or wakefulness. And the song carries a deeply spiritual, almost sacred tone.
Yeah, so my first impressions is, like, Björk definitely is taking you to church here.
And she originally wanted to sing the song with a music box or a vespertine, but I feel like it fits better in this production.
Yeah, definitely.
And although, I feel like I would listen to any song that was done with a music box. Well, it's
interesting, because she had been working on this song for 4 years. Before giving birth to her little girl. So when Björk hit up Viðar to like ask for permission or whatever, she was confused because Viðar knew right away she had a baby girl, since the song is actually a lullaby for a girl with blue eyes. And Björk had no idea. So even before she was singing about that baby girl, she was trying to sing about her. She had no idea. So it just fit on this album better. It's like she manifested it. So I guess this makes the song special for her.
And word has it that Jóran Viðar knew Hitler when she was studying music in Berlin. Apparently there's all these, like, you know, musicians that... Because Berlin used to be a big center for music. And then when the whole Nazi thing came in, they all had to escape, and they all escaped to Iceland.
All right, ready to bring the mood down, I guess. Well, to give you the meaning about this song, lyrically, it speaks of protection, hope, and eternal care, painting an image of a guardian watching over the sleeping and ensuring their safety. There's a sense of devastation. There's a sense of devotion and quiet reverence, almost like a prayer for peace.
I have a sense of devastation right now.
Yeah, it's a lullaby about protecting a baby from the madness and dangers of the world.
All right, what are some lyrics that support that? Very thorough meaning.
Well, one of the lyrics is translated as "the beloved ones sleep and the flowers rest their heads." It's a peaceful, almost fairy-tale-like image of a world at rest, setting up the song's protective, watchful tone.
Then there's "they will be guarded as the day falls asleep," which is translated.
Yeah.
And it's a theme of, like, divine or maternal protection, kind of reinforcing this idea that there's this guardian figure that's ensuring everyone's safety.
Yeah, there's also "their dreams will be peaceful, and tomorrow awaits them." It's a promise of renewal and hope, tying into the hymn-like structure of the song.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
How do you think she just comes up with this? She's like,
I don't, you know. I can tell you about production, though.
Okay.
Bjork's version maintains the original choral arrangement, but strips it of any instrumentation, making it feel, like, more ethereal and haunting. The way she delivers it, delicate, unwavering, it transforms the song into something deeply personal yet timeless. It's a lullaby for the restless. What? Anyway, she performs it with the Icelandic choir.
And she said that she was inspired by how Icelandic people will just sit around and drink and sing Icelandic folk songs and improvise.
Yeah, but I feel like most cultures do that, don't they?
I don't know.
Isn't your
what do people in Sacramento do?
Okay. Sorry. Anyway, this song has a remix by Chilly Gonzalez. Do you know them?
Yeah.
You know, you've been listening to them?
I know them.
Okay. With additional vocals by Feist. Wait, is it Feist?
Feist. I think.
Yeah, it feels like a cute gospel moment in a chapel in the middle of nowhere.
And then there's a version, it's a remix by Dark Jedi called the Dark Jedi Mix, which is my favorite.
Well, joke has been covered. Bakuro has been covered by many Icelandic artists, and you can find them all on Spotify. So, hey, how about that?
And there's no music video for this song, but it does play into the intro of Bjork's music video for Triumph of a Heart.
Yeah, when she's laying with the cat. You like that?
You know how I feel about cats. I don't mind cats.
Well, we'll talk about it later. He played this song from 2004 to 2008, so that's 4 years, y'all.
And she performed it on Canal in 2004, Canal Plus. With a choir and Roselle on what's
subtle bass.
Wait, but I thought he was a voice artist.
Yeah, but he's making subtle bass with his mouth.
Oh, I see.
Very subtle. Anyway, in 2008, she performed the song in Iceland with a choir, and Jonas and an harpsichord. Thank you very much.
And what's a cocktail for this song?
The Vigil Exhalar.
Elixir.
Elixir. Well, it has elderflower liqueur.
Gin.
Chamomile tea.
Honey.
Lemon. Lavender sprig to garnish. So, have one on me. Good night.
Is that it?
What do you want?
That's it.
That's it.
What are we doing next week?
Okay. I'm gonna do... I don't know how to pronounce this, but...
Hold my...
Obertan... Who is it? Submarine. A desired constellation... In Oceania.
We're doing five?
We're doing five songs, but don't worry, because some of them are short. And so it's like we're just doing three songs. So, I'm going to do.
All right. So, this album, just kind of wrap things up. This isn't your favorite Bjork album.
No.
But it's not your least favorite.
It's down there in the rankings, you know. But no, it's not my least favorite.
That would be...
I think I appreciate the concept out of the most...
The technical concept? Like, the idea of just using voices?
Yeah.
Not the, like, the subject matter.
No. So, I don't know. It's just weird. I thought it would get better and I would understand it, but it's still weird to this day. And I played it at a party once. Did not go well. You could just see the awkwardness of people's faces.
Wait, like you got a hold of the whatever record player
or iPod.
CD player?
The iPod.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Any other awkward moments with this album?
No. Do you remember the first time you heard this album?
Yeah.
When?
I bought it.
Okay, well, where were you in 2004? Let's talk about that.
I just moved to San Francisco.
All right.
And I bought it at a record store in a mall in San Jose. And the CD, and then I would play it in my car because I used to drive from San Francisco to.
Yeah.
So I'd drive back and forth with it.
That's what you listen to before work and after work.
Until I didn't, you know.
Oh.
Right. Like a week. It didn't hold my attention as long as most of our other albums.
Yeah.
Just leave it there.
All right. Good night.
If you think that, if she made this album today with just voices, how do you think it would be different? I feel like she wouldn't have, like, one beatboxer and one...
No, because, yeah, with the internet and stuff, there's so many, like, interesting vocal...
Yeah.
What are your vocal talents?
Mine?
Yeah.
Whistling.
And...
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Oh, yeah, what's your SNL character?
What?
Jesse's gonna audition for SNL.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You did it the other day.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember, it was... You had a character.
No.
Yes. I can't remember.
Okay,
tell me a joke.
No. They were going... I want to finish this.
Tell me a joke and I'll turn it off. Come on.
Knock, knock, who's there?
I say, who's there? You're looking at me like I'm telling the joke.
That's the joke. Alright. I think we got it.
Okay. There.
Bye. You're not done yet? You haven't had enough?
I've had too much.
All I gotta say is you better have recorded that.